is Paul's letter to Christians in the city of Corinth. And Corinth was the eye of Greece. It was the hub. It was the information center, the place of learning. It was uni everything. Oratory, prose, poetry, various disciplines of arts and learning. And here Paul the Apostle came into the very midst of the learned, and he brought his manifesto. But we preach Christ crucified.
This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. We're on the air again to bring you the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And one of our greatest joys is to preach the cross. This is our joy throughout the year. It is the joy at all times to tell men the glad good news that our Lord Jesus died in our place, a substitutionary sacrifice to redeem us from our sins. That's the news that the world needs to hear over and over and over. And today we're going to join with the Apostle Paul as he stood in the city of Corinth and he declared that he preached Christ crucified. That was his message to a lost world. And today we're going to be looking at that message. We have the hymn today, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Savior's Blood?" And that will come some halfway through the message in sermon today. "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" And I wonder, can you answer that question, that you, whoever you are, wherever you are today, as you stand before God, can it be that the blood of the Lord Jesus was shed on the cross for your soul and for your salvation? That's a very important question. It can be, but it requires your own commitment and personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Unless you come personally, individually, to trust, believe, and put your total commitment in Christ, you cannot be saved. But it is wonderfully, gloriously possible that even today that you can put your confidence and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. My name's Ian Gallagher. We're on the program here day by day to bring you the message of the gospel, and I trust the Lord will minister to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, we have literature, booklets, magazines, CDs that may be of interest and help to you. Feel free to be in touch with us here. Our website is www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you'll get all the information of our church, our radio ministry, and all the details that may be of help to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20, Paul asked, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified." This is our message today. May the Lord minister to your heart.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 23 is our statement. It is really a manifesto. These are the words, "But we preach Christ crucified." This is Paul's letter to Christians in the city of Corinth. And Corinth was the eye of Greece. It was the hub. It was the information center, the place of learning. It was uni everything. Oratory, prose, poetry, various disciplines of arts and learning. And here Paul the Apostle came into the very midst of the learned, and he brought his manifesto. But we preach Christ crucified. We now are living in the information age. There's hardly a city in the country that doesn't have a major university. There is hardly a home that is not connected to the World Wide Web, where you have access to all kinds of information through Google, Wikipedia. It seems that knowledge and news is at everyone's fingertips. But even though we're living in the 21st century in the information age, this is still our manifesto. We preach Christ crucified. The Apostle Paul classified wisdom into two different categories. He called wisdom that was from above, and then the wisdom that is from the earth. And he talked to these philosophers and these Corinthians about these words of wisdom from men. They were sophists. They loved learning. And they wanted to concoct and bring together something new, something exciting and titillating. Paul did not preach the wisdom of men. And he expounded to these Corinthians that through the wisdom of men, you will never know God. He believed in the wisdom that was from above. A wisdom that's found in the cross. It was heavenly wisdom. It was wisdom that made the simple to be wise. And it was also marked with the foolishness of preaching. And preaching the cross. Need I tell you that the Apostle Paul took his stand right there? And though he was dealing with philosophers and the learned and the pressures of the city, he took his stand and he said, "But we preach Christ crucified." Need I tell you that this must be our stand in our generation? There are three divisions that I want to take out of this text, "We preach Christ crucified." Number one, there is here a group determination. We preach Christ crucified. This is not a text of isolation. This is not a stand that we're all alone. We, and we'll examine what Paul meant by that word "we" and this group in his determination to preach the cross. The second thing you'll find here is a gospel definition. Preaching Christ crucified. That's the apostle's definition of the gospel. There's a lot of people going around today and they call themselves evangelicals and gospel preachers, and they never get to the cross, or they never expound the doctrine of the cross. And then thirdly, there is here a guarded discipline, preaching Christ crucified. You know, it's easy to preach five rules for a happy home. It would be easy to preach five ways to climb the ladder of success. But to preach Christ crucified, that has to be guarded. And we want to do that today. And I hope that you will hear me through in these three major points on this sermon. So I'll give you the outline again so that you'll know where we're going. We have a group determination. We have a gospel definition. And we have a guarded discipline. In these words, we preach Christ crucified. As I said, Paul was not all alone in this work of preaching the cross. What he was getting at, though, was in the church at Corinth, there was politics, party politics. There were divisions, and some were saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of the group of Cephas," and there were little pockets of loyalties, one with another. And Paul was saying, all of these things are petty divisions. Dividing over baptisms, dividing over rights and personalities and leadership and all of that. Those things are petty in the great scheme of the gospel, because we preach Christ crucified. And that was true of Apollos, And it was true of Peter or Cephas. It was true of every man in the church in Corinth. They preached Christ crucified. So all those petty things, put them aside. And the one thing that ought to unite Christians and believers in the 21st century as we take our stand to preach Christ crucified is that we agree that the cross is the central, most important issue of the gospel preaching church. If we're not united on that, then we cannot come together and say, we preached Christ crucified. When I was a new Christian, on Easter, I went along to Dr. Paisley's church where there would be an Easter Monday convention. There were three major meetings, 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 7 p.m., and you would have over 2,000 people packed into the rafters of that church for every one of those meetings. And behind the pulpit of that church were these words, "We preach Christ crucified." And in a number of our Free Presbyterian churches around the country and now around the world, they use that text to define their ministry. We preach Christ crucified. And I was saved into and called into the ministry of this group to preach Christ crucified. And I would like to think that wherever you go in Canada, in the United States, in the mission field, in England, Scotland, Wales, North or South Ireland, wherever you find a Free Presbyterian church, it will be true that they preach Christ crucified because it's a group determination. This is what we're committed to. This is what we're about. Because the world is in desperate need of this message of the cross. It's also a stand against works religion. Many think that they can get to heaven by their own good works, by improving their karma or their brownie points to score some merit of acceptance with God. But Paul said that it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul, in his course of ministry over the years, took on the Jews and the Judaizers. They preached their heritage. They preached their race. They preached their traditions. And if you read Philippians 3, he says that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was of a special tribe. He was learned. But all of those things he counted but loss that he might win Christ. And so every man who is called to preach Christ crucified takes a stand against works religion. You can never get to heaven by your works. You can never get to heaven by your own attempts. All of that is premised upon the false notion that in the inner heart of man there's some good. That if you can get down deep enough, if you can do surgery long enough, if you can just keep them under the radar and keep them under investigation, you will find some good in the heart of man. But the Bible is absolutely opposed to that. The Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. And all the best attempts, all the religious efforts, all the pilgrimages and the praying and all the religious institutions can never produce a heart that is right with God. All of those things are the wisdom of men. And there's many in their universities today, and it seems there the message of the cross is least popular. And they have their ways and means and learnings that's contrary to the cross. So I want to address with you now What does it mean to preach Christ crucified? What does it really mean? One thing to join the club and say, we preach Christ crucified, but what does it mean? What are we to look for? To the cross. So I want to address with you now, what does it mean to preach Christ crucified? What does it really mean? One thing to join the club and say, we preach Christ crucified, but what does it mean? What are we to look for? Well, there are three R's that are involved. Firstly, there is revelation. This plan of the cross, this whole history of a man nailed to a Roman gibbet, tortured, flagellated, weakened, hanging, bleeding in his own body. That was never man's plan. No one would ever have thought of such a plan. This plan of a suffering Savior, a man in our likeness in human form, upon whom is laid the sins of his people, nailed to a Roman cross. That plan came from heaven. And in the wisdom of God, in the mind of the Trinity, came forth this covenant arrangement that the Lord Jesus would take human form and suffer, bleed, and die for our sins. It's the wisdom of God, never the wisdom of man. That's the first R. The second one is regeneration. Regeneration. That's the enlightening of the human heart. And the Lord Jesus said that these things are revealed unto us. They did not come out of our own spawning imagination that we could dream up and come to the same conclusion that man has to be redeemed by a cross. No, the cross is a scandal. It is abhorrent. It is contradictory to the natural mind. Man, in his pride, says, I'm going to find it my way. I'm going to go to heaven by my own route. But God says, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but the Holy Spirit. And it takes the work of the third person of the Trinity to open the eyes of the sinner's soul to see Christ crucified, to appreciate who he is and what he has done for the souls of men. Our Lord Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast revealed these things to babes and not to the wise. Isn't it strange that Paul also had to say in Corinth, not many noble, not many mighty are saved? A preacher in England, he boasted that outside his church he had the most horse carriages of any church in town. Well, he didn't preach the gospel very well. And if you look at our parking lot, you'll not find many Rolls Royces. And you'll not find too many Lamborghinis and all the expensive makes of car. Because God chooses the weak things of this world. The things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are. And you'll find that our Lord Jesus often came to the poor, the least, the last. And by his Spirit he reveals to the heart of man the grace that is in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's regeneration. The third R is redemption. Redemption. We have behind in our pulpit text here, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Now that idea of a lamb and a sacrificial lamb and a suffering lamb and a bleeding lamb and a sin-bearing lamb goes away back to Genesis. And right through the Bible, you have the revelation of a lamb bearing the sins of the sinner. And of course, our Lord Jesus, John the Baptist, preached it, behold the Lamb of God. He pointed to Jesus, the Son of God, and he said to the people, behold, get your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that beareth away the sins of the world. And so this is redemption. To preach Christ crucified is to preach his sacrifice, his suffering, his bleeding in our place. Now, I don't want to go too far with that because we're going to get to the gospel definition in a little bit. We're still talking here about the determination. And I, as a gospel preacher, must be determined that this will be our ministry. This will be the thing that will do sinners good. This is what God's people need to hear over and over and over again, because it is the old, old story that is ever new. And so we are that group of people today. We preach Christ crucified. It's true here and it's true in our denomination. I wonder, is it true of you? Do you preach Christ crucified? Do you represent a suffering, bleeding, sacrificial Savior? Do you tell the world the good news that Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost? Now, there are many churches that don't preach Christ crucified. Oh, they might get somewhat close to it on Easter Friday, but it seems it takes 12 months to get to it. They haven't preached a word of it all year. And then they'll make some reference to Calvary around Easter time. You can't say that such a ministry, they preach Christ crucified, when they spend 12 months on other things other than the cross. There are ministries that preach psychology and growth and the new emergent church that wants to marry the world to the church of the Lord Jesus. You have a determination to make. Are you going to be a part of a ministry that preaches Christ crucified, the wisdom of God, or are you going to join the wisdom of men? Works, man-made, man-centered, man-deluding religion. That brings me to the gospel definition. A gospel definition. We preach Christ crucified. Now, the Christ here means that he is the sent one. If you want to know what the gospel is that God sent his Son. This is an arrangement between the Father and the Son to provide a way of redemption, a way of salvation. Our Lord Jesus was equipped to fulfill all the offices of being our mediator and Savior. He is our prophet, priest, and king. He took our nature. God prepared him a human body. He ministered truth. He suffered on that cross as a priest. Now, that might be strange to your ears today, but you need to understand that our Lord Jesus was exercising a priestly ministry. That's why there are no priests in the Protestant church today, because Christ is our priest. He offered up a sacrifice. He made atonement. He intercedes with the Father. His office is a priestly office to represent sinners before God. And this is part of the whole definition of the gospel.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I hope you have been blessed today through our ministry of the gospel. We have a wonderful Savior, and I invite you to trust in him as your Savior too. The Bible is very clear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. Look it up in your Bible. Pray over that very verse for the wonderful promise of God's salvation. And I assure you, the Lord will save you. And if I can be of any personal help, or if I can send you a gospel booklet, encourage you and guide you, please send me an email to ltbsradio@gmail.com. When you email me, I can also sign you up to receive these programs each week as a podcast. My email again is ltbsradio@gmail.com. If you wish to write, send your letter to Let the Bible Speak, 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. I trust that you will have a blessed week as you walk with the Lord and as you feed on his word. Remember that to abide in his word is the way to have the Lord abide in you.